consecrate my office, my energies, and all the wisdom I can summon to the cause of peace among nations.
Now those who seek absolute power, even though they seek it to do what they regard as good, are simply demanding the right to enforce their own version of heaven on earth.
I want to thank Secretary Powell for his careful and powerful presentation of the facts.
A pack of lies. A pack of lies.
The United States government has, one way or another, ordered, authorized, permitted, tolerated, torture.
We're making tremendous progress, but there is much more to do to win the war on terrorism and defeat terrorism.
I have a dream.
The fact is, we do need better international governance to help spread the benefits of globalization.
American world domination, or paramountcy. Historically, the U.S. sought security, not domination.
Nothing's perfect in life, so you have an election that's not quite perfect.
Now was the time to come forward and say who specifically was on that energy task force and lift any kind of shadow that's still there.
We've been through this issue a number of times.
We need to make sure that the political, the economic, and the security infrastructure of that state is shaped and helped to come into being.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Abizaid and Casey told the president there's an increasing number of more capable Iraqi troops. This is good news. I'm sure that's also what they told the Armed Services Committee just 2 days earlier.
General Abizaid, there was a report sent over, I think last June, that three of the 100 Iraqi battalions who were fully trained and equipped, capable of operating independently. What is that number now?
The number now is, if you're talking about level one trained, it's one.
If one battalion.
You know, everyone was just like, oh yeah, how long have you been in Iraq? And I was like, no, I'm going to Afghanistan. You know, that's, I haven't been to Iraq yet.
And what's their reaction to that?
Their reaction is, oh, well, at least you'll be safe in Afghanistan. Yeah.
And it's not quite that way.
Oh, yeah, it's completely opposite.
Corporal Kyle Fredrickson spent a year in Iraq.
Everyone's like, oh, it's going to be worse. You could go to Iraq. But my experiences so far would indicate that I would rather be deployed back to Iraq than over here, personally.
Anna married oil tycoon J. Howard Marshall in 1994. He was 89. She was 26. He died a year and a half later. Thus began the legal battle between the 1993 Playboy Playmate of the Year and her late husband's son, E. Pierce Marshall. At stake, $450 million.
We don't think Anna Nicole Smith is ever going to see any money. If Anna Nicole Smith had taken the $6 million that her late husband had given her and had invested it or watched over it at all, she'd be set for life.
Anna invested assets of a different sort, landing her own TV reality show, and has been basking in the limelight while her lawyers duke it out in court.
My biggest mistake was not recognizing that Louisiana was dysfunctional.
But does that excuse fly? Does Brown really deserve blame for the tragically botched response to Katrina? Or is he merely a scapegoat? Victims again and again.
Because there is always a stench around Republicans. As long as there are enough liberals to scream corruption, there's always going to be a stench.
You smell pretty good today.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know what cologne or perfume that is.
This is one of the weakest, most baseless indictments in American history. It's a sham, and Mr. Earl knows it. This act is the product of a coordinated, premeditated campaign of political retribution, the all too predictable result of a vengeful investigation led by a partisan fanatic. Mr. Earl, an unabashed partisan zealot with a well-documented history of launching baseless investigations and indictments against his political enemies.
we have over the years prosecuted a number of elected officials. At last count, that total stood at 15, 12 of whom were Democrats and 3 of whom were Republicans. Our job is to prosecute abuses of power. And our job is to bring those abuses to the attention of the public through juries, and that's what we do when we find a violation of the law.
Former FEMA Director Michael Brown told Congress this week he couldn't explain why they had to spend $200,000 at the last minute for body bags at the full price.
I don't know, and that was a mistake, one that we should look at and make sure we don't do in the future. We should have had the contract in place before Katrina made landfall.
The documents show FEMA was scrambling for ice, long an agency mainstay. Ice is used to keep medicine fresh and bodies from decomposing. But Michael Brown said he doesn't think providing ice is essential.
I don't think that's a federal government responsibility to provide ice to keep my hamburger meat in my freezer or refrigerator fresh.
According to an audit a year ago, FEMA's procurement office was a mess. Only one of 45 employees could document they had fulfilled the requirements to be a government purchaser.
Just 3 days after Hurricane Katrina struck, FEMA called up Carnival Cruise Lines and asked to lease 3 large cruise ships for 6 months to house evacuees. The price tag, a total of $236 million. The 3 ships, which is the sensation, the ecstasy, and the holiday, were to hold 7,100 evacuees. The problem is a lot of evacuees didn't want anything to do with cruise ships. They didn't want to get near the water, get on the water. And so these ships are not at all filled. It's unclear exactly how many evacuees are on these cruise ships right now. But Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn, Republican, has done some number crunching, and here's what he got. Even if 7,100 evacuees were on the ship, in other words, even if they were filled to capacity, the price would be over $1,200 a week. And here's the rub. If you wanted to book a cruise, you could do it for about $600 a week. So here is the government at work overpaying. It certainly looks as if they're overpaying. Now, Carnival Cruise responds by saying they're going to lose money on this deal, that they had to cancel 100,000 trips on the ships, and they won't even break even. But
They're losing money on it. How much did you say the total cost was?
The total is $236
million.
And they're
losing dough.
They say they're losing money.
And they don't even have to figure. And they're just sitting there in dock. They're not even moving them around.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't get that.
No, it's hard to figure, but this is just another deal that FEMA is going to have to do more explaining about.
Well, the notion that it has anything to do with free trade is ridiculous unless he's interested in trading in misery, because that's exactly what's happening here. You are kicking people who have been devastated when they're down, workers who've lost their homes, even family members, obviously their jobs, and they should be the first ones put back to work once the reconstruction begins. And what Davis-Bacon does is it allows, again, contractors to make a profit off of the misery of others. The reality is that they've suspended the contracting requirements for women and minority-owned businesses. And what rescinding the Davis-Bacon wage guarantees does is it allows out-of-state and large contractors like the Halliburtons of the world to come in, import labor from other states, and undercut the local wages and pay as little wage as possible.
And for the 9th year in a row, Congress has failed to pass the spending bills needed to keep the federal government operating. So today, the Senate approved a stopgap funding measure that keeps the government in business until mid-November. Funding levels will remain unchanged for most programs, but social safety net funds for the poorest Americans are being cut in half. NPR's David Wellna has the story.
Before they left town yesterday for a week-long break, members of the House passed a so-called continuing resolution that averts a government shutdown tomorrow. In it, all federal programs continue to be funded at current levels, unless bills passed by either the House or Senate for the next fiscal year call for lower funding levels. As it happens, a House bill cuts funding for community services block grants by more than 50% for most states and by 75% for the 13 smallest states. Senator Tom Harkin, an Iowa Democrat, pointed out today that the stopgap bill the House sent over to the Senate dramatically slashes federal support for some of the nation's poorest people.
This money goes out quarterly. It's used quarterly. It means that tomorrow,
tomorrow, the community services block grants will be cut 50%. Not next year, tomorrow, in real dollars. This isn't some phony baloney stuff.
Look, we sent inspectors from the Office of Weights and Measures in the Division of Consumer Affairs in our office out to visually observe what was going on and to document it. Not only were some of these stations raising prices 3, 4, 5 times in a single day, but when we asked them for the documentation, which the law requires that they keep, they didn't keep the documentation. They didn't have it to show to us. And that's on top of some of these stations that, again, advertised one price and charged the second one to the pumps.
What will be the impact should you prevail against these oil companies?
Well, the fines in these statutes are not great, and certainly you can't fine an oil company enough to really hurt them. The goal here is to stop the practice.
Particularly not with the current profits.
Well, that's correct. The goal here is to stop the practices in these particular stations, stop other stations from doing it, and to try to get some restitution.
But I do know that it's true that if you wanted to reduce crime, you could, if that were your sole purpose, you could abort every black baby in this country and your crime rate would go down. That would be an impossible, ridiculous, and morally reprehensible thing to do. But your crime rate would go down.
I think they're blatantly racist. I think that even after he had said to kill people based on who they are is morally reprehensible, he then came back and stated as a fact that if you did do this, even if it was reprehensible, it would in fact lower the crime rate, which clearly is he making blacks and crime synonymous. So I think even after he recovered, he re-emphasized the offensive point in the first place, and he seems to be oblivious to what he has said out of his own mouth and then confirmed after he tried to clean it up. Well, first of all, he can't determine what the real civil rights issues are when he's not a victim of violation of civil rights. I think that, again, is very arrogant. He's going to superimpose upon people in the civil rights movement what the real civil rights issue is. Secondly, what record? I mean, clearly, Mr. Bennett has spent a lifetime on the conservative side, trying to do what he could to, in my opinion, stifle the civil rights movement. He is now caught with his foot in his mouth, and that wasn't enough. He came back and stuck the other shoe in his mouth.
Many of the debt experts are saying this is the perfect storm. This is a disaster for middle America.
But Katrina was so massive that it overwhelmed the Red Cross, which is why the Florida Boulevard Baptist Church in Baton Rouge has been housing relief workers for weeks at great expense. The pastor welcomes FEMA's financial assistance.
We just don't see it as an offense. Basically, we see that, you know, churches are changing the oil and the government can help change the tires. And if we can work together, we can get the job done.
But critics say FEMA's reimbursement plan has no safeguards to prevent taxpayer dollars from subsidizing attempts to convert people who are in a very vulnerable state.
There's a very real risk that you could be reimbursed for prayer, Bible reading, a variety of religious activities, some of which are designed to convert you from whatever you were into whatever that particular church wants you to be.
And the God of peace will be with you.
Advocates of church-state separation are steaming.
You simply can't dump money into a church collection plate and say, well, you did some good work. We won't even ask the question whether you also used this money to try to convert people to your religious beliefs.
On October 14th, as many as 3,000 city employees will receive their last paycheck.
The problem we're having is that we have no revenue streams.
The city is still trying to determine how to send the pink slips. They can't send them in the mail because there is no mail service in New Orleans. And even if there were, most city workers evacuated and are now living in other places.
The ones who are being retained, I would imagine, know it.
I'm hearing a lot of things that some people are not coming back, so.
Even when it's over.
Right.
I don't know how all this big money works whenever whenever it comes down. It's, you know, we're supposed to be getting all this funding and everything, but now we got to lay off a lot of people who have already lost their homes and stuff like that, so it's sad.
It is not what residents in this region expect to return to.
You can't run a business or repair your house or anything else without all of the city services to give you permits and inspections and everything else.
Local leaders here are now begging Washington for the money they need to keep their governments alive.
Despite the recent deaths, health officials say the spate of illness is winding down.
There's very little risk of this infection coming out into the community, and it really is a problem predominantly within the long-term care facility.
Public health officials investigating the outbreak say they may never know exactly what virus or bacteria is responsible for the illnesses. Sandy Kozel, The Associated Press.
A lethal strain that's killed roughly five dozen people in Asia, with no confirmed cure, no fully developed vaccine, has the president openly discussing worst-case scenarios. What if the avian flu spread to the United States?
If we had an outbreak somewhere in the United States, do we not then quarantine that part of the country? And how do you then enforce a quarantine? One option is the use of a military that's able to plan and move.
And what about this idea that President Bush was talking about yesterday of bringing military in and quarantining a geographic area of a country if you see an outbreak?
Well, it's really a very sensible thing, I think, for a head of state to be indicating that this is a possibility so that the people are prepared and start talking about it. When we've got a serious illness, we've got a few options available. You either vaccinate people against it, you give them drug treatment so they can conquer it, or you isolate them so that they can't spread it. We don't know the drug treatment is necessarily going to work. We're not sure our vaccines are going to work because we don't know how the virus is going to mutate. The right thing to do is to prepare people for the possibility of quarantining. That's how we'll keep countries working and the world working.
Former Chief Eddie Compass did not voluntarily resign.
I've never known Eddie to quit anything. Anything. I don't care how bad it got. I don't care what it was. If you were in a fight, you wanted him with you because he wasn't quitting.
So why would he walk away now?
Politics is a nasty game. Nasty, nasty game. And, you know, just my guess, I'm not going to say this is reality, but just my guess, politics played a role more than anything else because Eddie would not have left his troops during this time. He wouldn't have done it.
It's going to be very difficult to mount a prosecution unless Mr. Fitzgerald, the prosecutor, comes up with some kind of real smoking gun. And that doesn't seem to be in the cards, but we don't know. This whole case is so shrouded in secrecy.
The investigation has so far lasted 639 days, longer than the Watergate probe, which wrapped up in 288 days. The parade of current and former administration officials has been questioned by prosecutors. It's unclear after 21 months if Patrick Fitzgerald has uncovered any wrongdoing. But sources following the case believe it has likely turned into a perjury investigation.
It's entirely possible that some of the questions he's asked these reporters have more to do with whether or not someone lied under oath or tried to obstruct the investigation somewhere along the way.
New York Times reporter Judith Miller served 85 days in jail, waiting for an assurance that her source voluntarily waived his right to confidentiality. Miller's attorney insists that guarantee of an uncoerced waiver came just a few days ago. But why did it take so long?
That's a question that I can't answer, and you'd have to direct it to the source. Everybody knew where Judy was, and it would seem to me if there was any doubt about it, the source certainly had the obligation, or certainly, yeah, the obligation to call her.
A large study of over 4,000 men and women aged 39 to 55 finds that a frightening number of Americans go from fit to fat in just a few short years. About one quarter of the midlifers went from a healthy weight to being overweight in just 4 years. And another 5 to 9% became obese with a body mass index greater than 30.
At any rate, we look forward to working with you. Let me put it another way. We look forward to hearing your vision so we can more better do our job. That's what I'm telling you.
If members of Congress speak with Generals Abizade and Casey, I'm confident they'll see what I see. Our leaders, these two generals, are men of vision and determination. And it is their leadership that is helping bring victory in the war on terror.
In the last throes, if you will, of the insurgency.
Last throws. The president may be out of touch, but not the vice president, right, General Casey?
The average counterinsurgency in the 20th century has lasted 9 years. Fighting insurgencies is a long-term proposition, and there's no reason that we should believe that the insurgency in Iraq will take any less time to deal with.
Does anybody at the White House get email? Or
seems to assume that things have gone well in Iraq. General Myers seems to assume that the American people, the support for our conflict there is not eroding. General Myers seems to assume that everything has gone fine Things have not gone as we had planned or expected, nor as we were told by you, General Myers.
I said good day. Good day. I said good day.
With respect to your question, the answer is, it seems to me, in two parts.
You got two parts. Here it comes.
First, the political and the economic and the security all have to go forward together. And to the extent there's a failure on the economic or the political side, it makes the security situation in an insurgency environment more difficult. Now, that means that there isn't an answer to your question.